Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, April 27, 2017. We'll start with a story titled District 118 Props Up Funding Shortfall, written by Carol Roem in Danville. The Danville 116 School Board authorized Wednesday a temporary loan from its working cash to prop up the transportation fund that has a shortfall due to the lack of state funding. Right now, the district has $259,363 in its transportation fund. However, the district's transportation expenses exceed $400,000 a month with 2 months left in the fiscal year. Superintendent Alicia Geddes told the board that the district has received only one of the four transportation reimbursement payments expected from the state this school year, and that payment just arrived just 2 days ago. We need to have enough money to cover our transportation bills, she said. The board approved transferring $571,806 to the transportation fund from working cash. The temporary loan from working cash will be repaid as soon as any state money is received. The district also has not received any of its special education funding and very little Title I funding, even though both are federal funds that pass through the state. Meaning the state, tells us they're upping our allocation because they've changed the school funding formula, but they haven't sent us any money, said Molly Stannis, director of special education. The state is using the federal money to pay for the other things than education, board member Lon Henderson said. Also on Wednesday, the board recognized Money Smart Week Essay Award winners Ellis Mansfield, first place, Ansley Sovine, second place, and Tyler Bryant, third place, all Southview Upper Elementary School sixth graders. First place earned $750, second $500, and third place received $250 in scholarship monetary awards. They also recognized outgoing board member Frank Young for his 8 years of service. He received a golden key to the district, granting him free admission to all school activities, and will have a brick paver with his name on it added to the Danville High School Walk of Honor. They also swore in re-elected board members Dr. Randall Ashton, Darlene Holleran, and Lon Henderson, and newly elected board member Shannon Schroeder. They elected board officers Bill Dobbles as president, Ashton as vice president, and Martha C. as secretary to the school board. They also approved the school board's meeting calendar through April of 2019. They appointed assistant business director Narcissus Rankin as the new Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund registered agent starting May 1st. They authorized the issuance of departmental credit cards, each with $1,000 spending limit, to the Danville High School Athletic, Special Education, Educational Support, and Human Resources departments. No one wants to take checks or purchase orders anymore, Geddes said. The credit cards will be used for gas purchases for district-approved travel and hotel stays for conferences. They also approved to bid window air conditioners for Danville High School. They approved a request to bid driveway, playground, and sidewalk repair and replacement district-wide. And they also approved paying $940 for Illinois Elementary School Association activity fees for the 2017-18 school year for Northridge Middle School. They approved the DHS projected graduating senior list, and they heard about student summer camp opportunities, including a free band camp for incoming fifth grade band students to Southview Upper Elementary School that will be held 9 to 10:30 July 17th through the 21st in the Northridge Middle School band room, and two culinary camps at Danville Area Community College that will be held from 10:30 to 11:30 June 12th through the 16th for grades 3 through 5 and 10:30 to 11:30 June 26th through the 30th for grades 6 through 8. Three summer camps through the University of Illinois also will be offered. District 118 will pay for transportation. Girls in engineering, math, and science, which will be free to female students in grades 9 through 12, will be held 9 to 4 on June 12th through the 16th and June 9th through the 23rd. Entertainment and sports media camp, which will cost $390 $399 per teen in grades 9 through 12 will be held from 9 a.m. to 8:15 p.m., July 9th through 14th, with meals provided. Meet the Greeks and Romans, which will cost $250 for 7th and 8th graders, will be held from 8:30 to 5:30 on between May 26th and 29th. Okay, the next story is titled East Main Building to be Demolished. Next few city meetings to be at Arena, written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. Another downtown building will come down soon. The city on Saturday will tear down the building at 113 East Main Street, east of This Is It Furniture. One lane has been blocked on East Main Street in front of the building for months, and an overhead pedestrian protection system for the safety of the public also was erected. Mayor Scott Eisenhower said the building was crumbling and the city had received a court order to be reimbursed for the demolition and protective pedestrian system from property owner Alan Dixon. The demolition is being conducted on a Saturday due to a main street closure. City officials have been monitoring the dilapidation of the building for years now, and they tried to get Dixon to fix the building prior to it completely falling apart, but unfortunately no investment was made, according to Eisenhower. Dixon could not be reached for comment. It's unfortunate that we had to block off the lane once we recognized that portions of the building were structurally unsound, according to Eisenhower, who added city officials became afraid that it would collapse on the sidewalk and out into the street. We don't know at this point what will become of the property once the site has been cleared. City code enforcement records from August of last year show the building, which was once a paint store, as an unsafe structure. According to code violation records, need to secure unsafe structure within 48 hours, including putting barricades around complete structure, or city will barricade and charge you a daily fee for labor and expenses. The city's records also note the unsafe vacant structure needs to be demolished. The city council's Public Services Committee on Tuesday recommended approving a budget amendment to account for $13,000 in expenditures and other contractual services for the overhead pedestrian protection system. Funds are coming from the Western Gateway Tax Increment Financing Fund Reserve. The full City Council will act on the budget amendment next week. At least the next three City Committee and City Council meetings starting May 2nd will be at the David S. Palmer Arena instead of Robert E. Jones Municipal Building due to carpet removal in the City Council chambers as a result of flooding several months ago. In other business Tuesday, committee members heard there will be a dedication on June 10th of the new Garfield Park basketball courts that also will kick off the summer basketball games. They recommended approving a health insurance incentive package for employment separation for the city employees. This is the employee buyout program in which 8 firefighters are eligible of the total 22 city employees eligible. Eisenhower said the qualifications allow the city to avoid unemployment. The voluntary retirements would occur prior to May 26th. This is similar to an incentive package Alderman approved in, he believes, 2012, Eisenhower added. They recommended approving a $201,500 contract, less dump fees, with Bob Brown Construction to demolish the former Lincoln United Methodist Church building at 614 West William Street. Danville Public Works Director Doug Ahrens said they are working on a reimbursement agreement with the building owner, Higher Dimension Faith Center. Aaron said demolition bids for this former Lincoln School came in at $100,000 above estimates. The city will look to rebid the project in late fall when contractors may not be as busy, he said. Aaron said he could be potential redevelopment. There could be potential redevelopment projects on the two sites after the buildings are torn down. They recommended approving an agreement with the Illinois Housing Development Authority for $71,000 grants for demolitions. The target area is east of Griffin Street and south of East Main Street. The city owns 10 properties in that area, according to Danville Planning and Urban Services Manager Chris Milliken, and they also recommended approving Historic Preservation Commission ordinance changes affecting board membership, board members being able to make nominations, denial of nomination, and with violation penalties. Okay, the next story is titled Summer Concerts to Benefit Charities, written by Brendan Dennison in Danville. Ann Schlunaker, a born and raised Danville resident, said coming back to town is a lot different after being gone for some time. She said Danville has a lot going for it, but it also has a lot going wrong. Now, as the new manager of Black Bear Bar and Grill, 1902 West William Street, she's planning a series of summer concerts to help raise funds for local charities. Cover charges will be set at $3 each, all marked for charitable donation. A possible 50-50 raffle also is in the works. Monkees X will kick off the series at 8 p.m. on May 5th. Some initial beneficiaries of the shows will include Soul Garden Recovery Center, the Vermilion County Rape Crisis Center, Keep Vermilion County Beautiful, and Citizens for Animal Rescue and Adoption. She said a lot of those were things she thought the community really needs. There are some really amazing local charities, and our focus is to keep it local, she said. Her goal is to shine a light onto the Danville area community and help recognize and highlight locally based businesses instead of bigger corporate box stores. She also said she wanted to focus on local charities as well. Suggestions on which charities the series should support for future events can be sent to the Black Bear Bar and Grill's Facebook page. Really, to promote local businesses, local charities, and really to promote our community, she said. She said bar owner Harvey Dove originally had the idea for the series, and she's taken on the task of finding which charities to help. They have the May show dates filled, and she said they're interested in knowing what charities the community wants to support as well. Her plan is to host a show one night every weekend for May, June, and July. The concerts will be at a specially built permanent outdoor stage sponsored by local radio station D102 K-Rock. In the event of rain, the entertainment will be brought inside the bar. For now, she says she's got her fingers crossed for clear weather each weekend this summer. The May concert schedule. All shows will begin at 8 p.m. at the outdoor K-Rock stage. On Friday, May 5th, Monkees X benefits Vermilion County Rapes Crisis Center. Saturday, May 13th, Torn Labels benefits Pier Court. Saturday, May 20th, Hill Draggers beneficiary undetermined. And Saturday, May 26th, Vinyl Generation beneficiary undetermined. Okay, the next story is titled Civic Duty, Oakwood Students Help Out, written by Carol Roem in Newton. And there's a picture of Oakwood Junior High School students who are also involved with our American Voice After School program. From left, Josie Clem, Gavin Klaus, Chloe Johnson, Reed Sperry, Griffin Trees, Arav Jagroop, and Nate Wright. Equipped with rakes and other yard tools, a group of Oakwood Junior High students will start their Saturday early by cleaning up a rural cemetery near their school. The 7th and 8th graders are members of the school's Our American Voice, known as OAV, After School Program, which 7th grade social studies teacher Damon Arrett started this year. The aim of the program is to teach middle schoolers about civic engagement. OAV is in schools all over Illinois, he said. It's a two-part program during which they learn about community service and the importance of being a good citizen and then volunteer to help their community. All of the students in Eric's classes are part of the program, as well as several 8th graders who were already involved in school activities but were interested in performing community service. The group meets in Eric's class during their enrichment period to brainstorm community service projects. Cleaning up the Pleasant Grove Cemetery south of their school is their latest effort. What can you do when you're 12 or 13 to be active in the community, he said? You can't vote and you can't run for mayor. How can we have our students make an impact in our community, he asked. The group's first project occurred in November during a Veterans Day event at the Veterans Memorial in downtown Oakwood. About a dozen students helped out with the Veterans Celebration, Eretz said. The students passed out cookies to about 100 community members and set up tables and chairs. It was a cool learning experience for them because they were able to interact with veterans from World War II, Vietnam, Desert Storm, and Afghanistan, he said of the students. And people were thrilled to have young people taking an interest in the community. After the positive response to the group's help, the students were eager to plan a spring project. We knew we wanted to continue our work, Eretz said. We wanted to clean up and beautify one of the cemeteries in Oakwood. The group settled on a cemetery near their school and whose caretaker was appreciative for their help. The woman we contacted about Pleasant Grove said they had leaves and twigs that needed to be cleaned up from over the winter, he said. She said there are tombstones that haven't been visited in 50 years by family, so we're going to clean them with a sponge too. On Wednesday, the youngsters easily recalled how they felt about supporting the area veterans. Eighth grader Reed Sperry said he learned about the history of the military branches during the Veterans Day event. I thought it was nice they did a memorial for the veterans in the community, he said. Eighth grader Arav Jagroop said he was pleased to help with the event. It was nice to give back to them, he said. Seventh grader Josie Clem agreed. It was really nice to give back to the community for all their support. Okay, now we'll run through the obituaries. Paul Edward Reif, 80, of Hoopston, formerly of Rossville, passed away at 8 p.m. on Sunday, April 23rd, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Sorry. A celebration of Paul's life will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, April 28th, at Blurton Funeral Home in Hoopston, with Pastor Micah Mobley officiating. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Friday at the funeral home. Burial will follow the service in Rossville Cemetery. Memorials may be made to Carl Hospital. The family entrusted Blurton Funeral Home to assist them in honoring his life. Nancy Sue Kinney McDaniel, 81, of Covington, went to be with her Lord Saturday, April 22nd, at Parkview Healthcare in Attica. Funeral services will be Friday, April 28th, at 5 p.m. EDT time at the Shelby Funeral Home in Covington, with Warren Allen officiating. Visitation will be from 3:30 until the time of the services. Burial in Mount Hope Cemetery. Memorials requested to the Alzheimer's Association, with envelopes available at Shelby Funeral Home. Condolences at shelbyfuneralhome.com. Dana Coulter, 48, passed away at 7:26 p.m. on Saturday, April 22nd, at Shands Hospital in Gainesville, Florida. The celebration of Dana's life will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, April 29th, at Sunset Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street in Georgetown, with Pastor Joe Humriches officiating. A visitation will be held from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Friday, April 28th, at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in Mount Hope Cemetery, Covington, Indiana. Memorial donations may be given in her name to the family for continuing education for Nathaniel. Join the family at sunsetfuneralhome.com. Lorraine Olson Wilson, 94, of Hoopston, passed away at 12:25 a.m. on Saturday, April 22nd, at Heritage Healthcare in Hoopston. A celebration of Lorraine Wilson's life will be held at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, April 26th, at Blurton Funeral Home in Hoopston, which was yesterday. Sorry about that. Memorials may be made to Heritage Healthcare. William B. Carter passed away April 24th at Mason Point in Sullivan, Illinois, after a brief illness. Visitation will be from 9 to 11 a.m. on Saturday, April 29th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville, with a celebration of life service at 11 a.m. on Saturday. Burial will be at Sunset Memorial Park. Reverend Michael Heidel will be officiating. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Christina Sue Tina Howlett passed away on April 25th at home. A celebration of life for Tina will be at 11 a.m. on Friday, April 28th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Jan Reeder will be officiating. Visitation will be from 9 to 11 a.m. on Friday at the funeral home. Burial will be at Georgetown Cemetery. Memorials may be made in Tina's name to Farmers Chapel United Methodist Church. Join the family at sunsetfuneralhome.com. Eric A. Barkman of Danville passed away peacefully in his home on April 24, 2017. A celebration of Eric's life will be at 10 a.m. on Friday, April 28th at Crossroads Christian Church in Danville. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Friday at the church. Burial will follow the service in Spring Hill Cemetery. Memorial donations can be made to the Hospice Hearts Pets Rescue. Eric Todd Miles Sr. Passed away on April 24th at 3:05 a.m. at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of life will commence at noon on Saturday, April 29th at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 311 North Collette Street in Danville. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. until the start of the service. Officiating Lucius Barber, Leeks and Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street in Danville, is in charge of the arrangements. Mary Lee Biller, 61 of Danville, passed away at 8:43 p.m. on April 25th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of life service will be held at 2 p.m. on Saturday, April 29th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Officiating will be Jim Russell. Burial will be at Hopewell Cemetery in Gessie, Indiana. Visitation will be held Friday, April 28th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be made in Mary's name to Schultz House Activities Fund, 340 Bryan Avenue, Danville, Illinois, 61832. Gary Neal, 61 of Hoopston, died at 6:35 a.m. on Wednesday, April 26th at Carl Hoopston Regional Health Center. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. And a visitation for Howard Robison, 86, formerly of Hoopston and Rankin, who died on Friday, November 11, 2016, at Franklin Grove Nursing Home in Franklin Grove, will be held from 10 to 11 a.m. on Saturday, April 29th, at Hoopston United Methodist Church, 403 East Main Street in Hoopston. A memorial service will follow the visitation at 11 a.m. at the church, with Pastor Kathy Najum officiating. Okay, the next story is titled Tilton Village Board: Video Gaming Owner Seeks Refunds in Tilton. Businessman and real estate developer Ryan Quick asked the Tilton Village Board for a share of the tax revenue the village is collecting from his two video gaming locations. Quick, who has opened two Carla's video gaming businesses in the past year, said he'd like Tilton to share half of what it collects in gaming revenues from his establishments. According to village records, Tilton has received about $21,000 as its share of the state gaming tax revenue from the two Carla's located at 2 Ileana Drive and 1606 Georgetown Road over the past 15 months. Quick told trustees that he has invested about $3 million in Tilton over the past 3 years and has plans to invest about $5 million more. He said his plans include building a senior living complex directly west of the Carla's place on Ileana Drive, which he'd put the gaming tax revenue toward. The first unit in that complex is slated for construction this year. I had planned on this project when I built the first Carla's on Ileana Drive and already have the utilities in place to begin construction, said Quick, who stressed the apartments are not Section 8 housing and that he already has a waiting list of potential tenants. Trustees decided that they were comfortable with a five-year agreement with the possibility of a five-year extension. They cautioned Quick that it is possible that these revenues may not hold up in the future, considering all of the video gaming establishments opening along Georgetown Road recently. The board said it will have the village attorney draw up an agreement and send it to Quick's attorney before any further action is taken. Okay, the next story is titled, Just One Question. Every weekday afternoon, Vermilion County High Schoolers descend upon Danville Area Community College to study culinary arts, electronics, health occupations, and other fields, learn the job skills required by local and national employers, and earn high school and college credit at no expense to them or their parents. They do this through the College Express program, a joint venture between the Vermilion Vocational Education Delivery System, DACC, and local districts providing career and technical education programs to juniors and seniors. This year, 412 participated in 17 programs. Today, students will showcase their interactive projects demonstrating what they've learned this past year at the 10th College Express exhibition, which runs from 8:30 to 2 at the Bremer Conference Center. Students will be on hand to discuss their work from 8:40 to 10 a.m. and 12:30 to 2 p.m. An individual and best of class awards will be presented. They're going to be wowed, said Nick Chatterton, the VVEDS system director. It's a tangible way to see what skills we teach our students. On the eve of the show, staff writer Noelle McGee stopped by DACC to ask students, what are you excited to show your friends, family, and current and future students? Brianna Childress of Oakwood Senior studies early childhood education says, my partner Chantel Pridemore from Westville High and I are making instant snow. You mix white hair conditioner and baking soda together until it's clumpy, and you can add glitter to it. It's a good sensory activity for a good science experiment for kids. Hope Dishman of Bismarck Henning Jr. studies welding, says our class made a smoker for the culinary arts students. We started with a 55-gallon drum. Someone donated a lawnmower trailer to us. We put a tank on it and made a smoker box. We pretty much did everything, assembled it, welded it, painted it, and even did the wiring for the trailer. Our class hasn't tried it out yet. We're working on that. Levi Dickison of Hoopston Area Junior studies computer programming, says our teacher decided to have us make a game. We brainstormed and decided on Yahtzee. I didn't do any of the coding. I was pretty much there for technical support. From this project and program, I've gained a lot of knowledge about computer programming. It's helped me determine what I want to do and what my career is going to be like. And Will Cottrell, Westville Senior, studies criminal justice, says one class made posters explaining how police handle different cases. Our class made posters about how people are in prison, male and female, and how that's changed over the years. We'll also demonstrate how to put on and take off handcuffs, and we'll also have an ankle bracelet. Tiffany Trussell of Georgetown Ridge Farm Jr. studies auto mechanics, says we built a bench out of a tailgate. The legs are exhaust pipes. We had to cut them to certain length and bend them with a pipe bender. Then we had to weld the legs onto the tailgate and cut off some pieces with a die grinder. Through this program, I've learned more about where everything is in the engine and how the engine works. Right now, we're studying turbochargers and superchargers. And Hunter Hansbrough of Salt Fork Senior studies green construction. His dad, Greg, is an instructor. He says, we don't have a specific project. We're going to display a wide variety of tools and their variations, from a simple claw hammer to a mallet to saws and measuring equipment. We'll explain the do's and don'ts of the tools. That's a big part of the class, learning about safety. That sounds like it's going to be pretty interesting. So if you have time, you might want to go out there. So anyway, that'll pretty much be it for the Vermilion County News on Thursday, April 27th, 2017. Try to stay dry and warm. It's a little cool out there today, but hopefully it'll warm up and be spring again soon. So I hope you all have a good week, and I will see you again next week. Take care. Bye.